Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a horror movie podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
For all of you. Hallie, how are you doing?
Well, I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize for how I sound.
General allergies or cold or...
I'm concerned it's the flu, just because everyone's getting it.
Did you get your flu shot yet?
No, because I'm a fucking dumbass.
I got mine yesterday, which I don't know if that's going to help, like, for the next few days, which...
I mean, it can't hurt.
It's going around.
But, yeah, I also didn't get the COVID booster, so I'm going to test for that. But that I've kind of been lucked out. I haven't been unwell in a while, so...
Yeah.
I guess I was due for it. How are you doing?
Hang in there.
Thank you. How are you hanging out?
Well, I bought clogs.
Okay, that feels right.
I live Park Slope adjacent in Brooklyn. It was time.
We've arrived. You got a cat, now you got clogs.
Yeah, I've got a cat. I live in Brooklyn. I'm a woman who's rapidly approaching 40 within a few weeks.
I would say seconds to go.
Yes, so close. So I was like, I think it's just like in LA, this is less of a problem, but like in New York, like there's kind of not a great shoe in between like
a sneaker
and a boot. Mm-hmm. And like I love sneaks and I can wear sneaks like most of the time, but it's not always the look I want. But like I wouldn't say that like my back is like stellar at bending over to put on boots. Like it's not that I can't, and it's not that it's like getting worse. It's just like I lost a little bit of motion range in my spinal fusion and it just is uncomfortable. So it's not, and it hasn't been like so cold in the winter anymore that like you really need to commit to a big heavy boot.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good point.
So like there's kind of just no shoe where you could wear socks. And it's not a sneaker, but it's not a fancy, like, it is clogs.
Yes, that's a weird in-between. I'm always going to go boot or sneaker, you're right.
And there's nothing in between them.
Yeah. I feel like I was reading this thing, and they're basically like, all jeans are shorter now. Like, they're just cut shorter because Gen Z doesn't wear heels. And as someone who does like a heeled boot, I do have to... You have to buy jeans that a woman who would wear a boot would wear, which is specifically Good American.
Yes.
Or anything that Kardashians make, they are made for a woman in a heel.
Boot.
But I like that. But also, I'm not hoofing it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm wearing that. If I had to, like, walk to work, like, I wouldn't wear it for that. I would just wear sneakers or put them on.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in wearing sneakers to work and putting on shoes there.
Yeah.
Having worked at Viacom, people do that all the time. Like, that's actually the way to go.
I remember people, when I worked in offices, people just, like, had shoes at their desk that were their work shoes, and you wore sneakers everywhere.
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah. Which I'm like, I get it. I did that, too.
All fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. And like with shows in the winter, like I don't always want like, anyway, so I found a pair of clogs that they're Swedish. They're not like one of the, they're not like Number Six or Swedish Has-Beens or whatever those other brands are where they have like, they are like a wooden, like the bottom, like the sole is wooden, but it has rubber on the bottom, like that touches the ground, and then a soft leather footbed in the sole. So like, they're not. It's not because like I've always been like, oh, I love the look of some of those clogs, but it's just like you're wearing wooden shoes, like
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, it's like it's a cute look, but then in New York, hoofing it in wooden soles. I just don't know.
Subway stairs. So these are just like I almost ordered, and I think I still might get a pair of just like straight up like Danskos that nurses wear.
no one could stop you, Allison.
Nobody could stop me with like that have a full back. These don't have a back, and I'm going to see if they're like comfortable enough to wear around.
I like it more with the back, but only because my feet look like a zombie's foot. Mm. So I need the back of the shoe. I don't want my heels exposed.
Well,
I'll
wear like a little sock with them.
A sock with what kind of sock?
Like I have a lot of, I'm going to plug my favorite sock brand, Hansel from Bezel. Do you know this brand?
No.
They do a lot of really good, they have very like chic.
Oh,
like,
these are cute. Yeah.
But they have a lot of really good, like cute socks that like are cute without looking like you bought them from a children's store. Like I have a pair that has they're black and they have little brown dachshunds on them. And it's like, yeah, with black jeans and black clogs, like those are they're a thing.
Now that's a 40-year-old woman living in Portland.
Who lives in Brooklyn. Anyway, that's like what's new with me. So
great. I'm so glad.
I'll report back when they arrive later today. And we'll be on a clog journey.
Great. I'm glad. I'm still on the hunt for a vinyl trench.
Yes.
And now at least the algorithm knows I'm looking. So now it's serving me at different options. But again, how much money to spend on something I don't really need and doesn't really go with anything I own. And well, it'd be the start of a sartorial journey I want to go on, but I'm not necessarily ready to commit to right now.
I think it's like, it's a very like, if you build it, they will come kind of thing.
Really,
where it's like,
really good point.
I think that like once you have the trench, you'll be like, I see what to do with this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But if you're planning, like looking at your wardrobe, being like, how do I fit the trench? Like you have to have the trench and then you'll be like, oh, well, now I actually just need, like, a good black turtleneck, and that's, like, what I want. Like, that's easy and cheaper to find.
You're absolutely right. If I trench it, they will come.
If you trench it, they will come.
And there's a lot of different great trenches that I know will be about to go on discount, because I just don't think that many people are trying to buy a vinyl trench. Every fucking,
everyone
has one for some reason.
You get into Thanksgiving and Christmas time. One, there's a bunch of sales, but two, like, coats start becoming, like, old, quote unquote, because like we're gonna move into like in January, February, spring clothes start being part of the stores and stuff like
Which
that.
Is so
like
wild.
It's insane. And I'm like, we just kept doing that, even though that's not how things work anymore. But you might be able to find like a good discount on a real nice one in the coming months.
I think you're absolutely right. I basically have every department store website up and I just check it.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones where things go on deep discount. You just gotta keep your eyeballs
peeled.
Speaking of peeling eyeballs, we are continuing our month of They Ate. Of course, a delicious pun or delicious double entendre. Delicious and delicious itself
delicious
being a double entendre.
And then we go
from there. But it is, of course, films about eating, cannibalism, and of course, if somebody ate. And I will say I do think the cast of this movie did eat, and this is a film. Again, I really am very particular about when I watch certain things. Mm-hmm. And this is a movie where, like, I know I'm going to watch it, but I want to wait till the right mood. And then the right mood was, I have to watch a cannibalism movie to record
today. So you hadn't seen this?
No, because I was waiting. I always do this. Like, I was waiting for the right time. And then I was like, well, the right time is now. So
yeah, it's like the movie you want to watch is available. Watch it.
Yeah. And this the movie is 2016's Raw. Which is a French film directed by, oh God, I really apologize, written and directed by
a
woman
great
who I owe an apology to. Wait, what is it?
We got a great comment on Instagram from somebody who shared what, as we're recording, was a recent episode.
Oh God.
And he was like, oh, I love when Hallie struggles to pronounce French names and then Allison doesn't help her.
Oh yeah, no, you just sit there and watch
I just
let
you do it. However it comes out of your mouth is how we'll do it on the pod.
Right. And these are all actually how the French pronounce it. So this movie was, of course, written and directed by Julia Ducournau. I'm going to go say that. And it stars two gals. One is, oh my God, Garance Marillier, I'm going to say. She's fabulous. And then Ella Rumpf. I got that one.
Rumpf.
And everyone in this film is phenomenal. And it is, of course, a coming of age cannibalism movie, and you could assume that from the theme for this month. But also, Allison, I'm assuming you know that because you watched the trailer. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer and give us her thoughts. Allison, what did you think of the Raw trailer?
I remember like watching this trailer in like on like Vulture when it came out, and everybody was talking about it, and I was like, okay, I was like at my desk working at like some job, and I remember seeing this trailer and being like, hey.
Yeah, it's. I really enjoyed it. I had the same experience.
Don't like it. And I did not like it.
Are there any visuals that sort of come to mind as like the most horrifying visuals?
Well, there's one that's really just like hitting close to home right now because like the skin rash is obvious, like listeners of the pod will know. I was dealing with a little bit of a skin issue recently and it's still a little dry and I'm still like putting stuff on it. So I'm just like, oh no, am I a cannibal now?
Well, have you eaten any raw rabbit hearts or rabbit kidneys anytime recently?
No. Yeah, I also didn't like it, whatever that ceremony is when someone just puts something in her mouth to eat. Like, that's
a lot of that. And again,
that sucks.
I'm not saying this is what France is. There are certain elements of this movie where I'm like, well, this is what I think France is.
Mm-hmm.
This seems about of a piece. And we always like to take a baseline scary for Allison. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of craving human flesh?
I mean, very.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way that I'm, like, afraid that's going to happen to me, but it does feel like one of those things where it's like, if that is happening to you, there is no other way out. Like, you're, like...
Yeah.
It feels like, it's like, if there is a deep desire within you to consume human flesh, like, that's not, like, you're not going to get by with, like, an impossible burger. You
exactly,
know? Like,
yeah.
It's not, or there, nothing's going to cut it. Like, you're going to have to feed that or you're going to have to die.
Yeah, absolutely. This reminds me of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where they think that they become cannibals, but really they just got a parasite from eating spoiled,
raccoon.
I believe, raccoon meat. Yes,
yeah, I think it's
right.
Raccoon. So funny.
Yeah, I feel like the idea isn't itself that scary, but because it just happens so infrequently, of all the things that people crave, human flesh does not come up a lot.
No.
But this movie does sort of traffic in this idea, sort of like, oh, if a dog bites a human, it's permanently dangerous because it will have a taste for human flesh. And it's like, is this the Middle Ages?
Yeah.
Like, is our understanding of this is so primitive?
Yeah. Well, that's like the runner in Arrested Development that the seal bit off Buster's hand and got it because it got a taste for human flesh from somebody, like from Job, I think.
Well, that's funny. Well, and then finally, we always like to have Allison guess the twist. Based on our brief conversation and on the trailer, Allison, would you like to guess the twist in 2016's Raw?
Guess the twist.
Okay, I'm going to guess that the girl is, she's in veterinary school?
Yes, yeah.
She's I'm going to guess.
First year in veterinary school.
I'm going to guess that like what looks like veterinary school is actually a cult that she unwillingly had to join. And she thinks she's going through this alone, but, like, actually, this is just, like, you're a chosen one and, like, you get to be a part of it. Like, this is intentional.
Okay, great.
From the organization that she's a part of.
I think that's an excellent guess, Allison.
We just wanted to let you know about yet another Ruined live show that we are doing for the month of November, and it will be Monday, November 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Well, yeah, we're mixing it up a little bit.
We're mixing it up. We're doing things a little later because it's a Monday. We want everybody to be able to finish whatever they do for a job if you have one and be able to join us for another very fun live show because we'll be doing
Thanksgiving, which of course is the new Thanksgiving-themed Eli Roth movie. That comes out this month. Just to read the log line, an axe-wielding maniac terrorizes residents of Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Perfect.
Well, baby, what else do you need to hear, okay?
Yeah.
So go ahead, make yourself one of those sandwiches where it's like turkey and cranberry and then stuffing and two pieces of bread. Make that for yourself.
And then join us by going and getting your ticket at moment.co/ruined. That is moment.co/ruined. And you can get your tickets, $10. $20 Patreon members, you know you're going to get yours in your email inbox the day of the show, and we'll have all the regular fun, the chat, merch, you know, we'll all talk about our Thanksgivings and how those were.
Oh.
Hopefully better than the people in this film.
Absolutely. I can only imagine. So join us Monday, November 27th, and we'll see you there.
See you.
Or you'll see us, but we'll know
that
you're
there. Yeah, we can tell.
Let us begin ruining Raw. So we open on a long country road with a young woman walking towards us. And then a car, as it goes by, is driving parallel to her. As the car passes, she darts in front of the car, basically dives in front of the car, forcing it to veer and slam into a tree. And then as, you know, as the dust settles, the woman walks over to the driver's side door and opens it. Mm. We now join our main character, Justine. She's eating at sort of a, I would say the French version of hometown buffet. So it's sort of like cafeteria style and they serve you food onto a plate. And she just gets a big plate of mashed potatoes, which look delicious.
I mean, I've been really craving mashed potatoes lately.
I haven't had there's a chill in the air. It's mashed potato weather, baby.
It is mashed potato weather.
And because she does not eat meat, they ask, oh, do you want meat? She said, nope, I don't eat it. She's eating with her parents. And when she looks down, she tastes something. And there's a big old meatball hiding in the mashed potatoes. How'd that happen? I don't know.
Okay.
And her mom flips out. They're all vegetarians.
Because it's like now less mashed potatoes.
Right. Also, I just don't think a meatball would be fully hidden by the mashed potatoes. But
That's a lot of mashed potatoes.
And it is. It is like a plate full. Not any kind of other vegetable, just a plate full of mashed potatoes. My mouth is filling with saliva.
Yeah, mine is too. I really want some mashed potatoes.
And so her mom flips out. They're all vegetarians. Storms over the cook and was like, we are vegetarians. What if she been allergic? You people are sloppy. It's like a roadside buffet. Like, this is
right.
Not.
They're like, that's
it's
not
like
our
a diner. Yeah.
Thing.
It's like, ma'am, we're sorry.
Doing our best.
We were at a French truck side diner. I don't know what you expect from us. But Allison, they are driving Justine to her first year of veterinary school. And we find out that her older sister, Alexia, who they call Alex, is a student a year or two older than her. So kind of already been through it. Of course, when they go to drop off Justine, Alex is not picking up her phone. The mom is pissed. The dad's like, it's fine. She'll be fine. They have everything set up for you. So she takes out her bag and her mom's like, we can't just leave Juju here. But of course, in the end, the parents let her go. And we see Justine enter a new chapter of her life, walking with her luggage into the dorm.
Okay.
And that night, she's asleep. You know, it's basically like laid out like there's two bedrooms and like a little common area. Mm-hmm. And somebody busts into her room from the common area. And it's a super hot ass shirtless guy. This
Good
guy
for her.
Is her roommate, Adrian.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, excuse me, I asked for a girl roommate. And he, of course, doesn't say, he uses a different word, but he's like, oh, they gave you a gay guy. It's the same difference to them. So, like, he's like, oh, no, I'm a girl. Don't worry. I'm a gay guy.
It's like, okay.
But also, he's, like, insanely hot. So I think for her, she's immediately like, uh-oh. However, she doesn't have time to think about that because in the hall, we hear Drunk Cloud singing. It is first year orientation or at Notre Dame, when I went through this, frosh show, which just means a week of heavy drinking and hazing. Did you have that at college?
We didn't have hazing was for, because like there was Greek life at Cornell. So like there were, like that was kind of the job of the fraternities and sororities. But it was like a week of just like, well, you're here, get alcoholism.
Like, yes, I was going to say, at Notre Dame, like, we had to, like, get up early and run or, like, sing songs or do dumb stuff. But it really was mostly drinking as many beers as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like beers anymore, because the part of my brain that may have enjoyed a beer has been drowned in a sea of Natty Light.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad beer.
Oof. Woof. I remember drinking seven Natty Lights, like, my first day of drinking.
Yeah.
And
Milwaukee's best.
Awful. Can we say it again?
Milwaukee's best.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I feel like we had Miller High Life.
Miller High Life. High Life, I don't mind. I'll have a High Life.
I don't mind a High Life either.
No, but like.
Natty Life. Well, Natty Light. Ugh. So all of a sudden, we have a group of older students, all boys in ski masks, bust in, and they take both Adrian and Justine's mattress off their bed and throw them out the window.
They
force Adrian and Justine, who are just like, Adrian's in like pants, like pajama pants, and Justine's in like a tank top and no bra and her underwear, force them out in the hallway where there's a bunch of other freshmen also in their PJs and and underwear, standing stupefied because it's like 2 a.m. And then the hazing can begin. And they basically are forced all these groups of first years into an elevator and take them outside and make them walk on their hands and knees. And it's a beautiful shot. Mm-hmm. It's like a crowd of these young people like walking into the light and out of the light as animals. And obviously because they're in veterinary school, we're going to be using a lot of animal imagery. Right. But it's a beautiful shot. And he finds Adrian. She finds Adrian again. And he's like, it's just a game. What's the worst that could happen? It's fine. And just then, the older students get them up. And they open sort of like what looks like the basement of like a different building. And they are partying inside. So there's a huge party. Okay. All the other students from the school are there. They're already drunk. We see two girls, like, take their tops off. A girl and a guy are making out. They're doing Molly. Someone has a vodka water gun. Everyone's having the time of their life, except for Justine, who's extremely overwhelmed and panicked.
And you would be overwhelmed and panicked. I would end up partying just to be like, I guess we're doing. But, like, it would be an overwhelming and panic-inducing moment.
I'd also be like, I'm not wearing pants. I'm not dressed for the occasion. And she goes to talk to Adrian, but then he just starts making out with some guy that he's talking to. And so she's wandering around. And I think the idea is, like, she's like this, she's incredibly intelligent. She's very socially awkward.
Yes.
Her sister's also extremely smart. And I think based on her interaction with her parents, you know, kind of sheltered in a lot of ways. And now this is her first introduction. It's like, you will be drinking, you will be fucking. You don't know any of these people. People are drunk and falling down.
Right.
And luckily she runs into her sister, Alex, who is also drunk, but is happy to see Justine. And she says, here, come with me. And they sneak out of the party and into, like, one of the actual school buildings. So the whole school is on the property of a hospital. So there's also a morgue, there's dorms, and then there's actual classroom buildings with, like, an auditorium and stuff. So it's a full campus of different veterinary-related medical training and programs. So they sneak in to the other room, and they're in one of the labs where we see, like, a bunch of preserved animals in formaldehyde. Ugh. And they make it into a hallway with framed photos of each class at the end during their frosh show. And they're all covered in animal blood, Allison.
No.
And they find the one where their mom and dad are in it because their mom and dad also are veterinarians. Okay. And they went here and they met while they were in school.
Yeah. So the family business.
Yeah. And the implication is that mom and dad actually met during their orientation as well. Yeah. So it's kind of like a family tradition. Like, oh, it's going to be fun. And Justine says, I'm going to go to bed. But Alex says, no, no. The rookies, first years, don't go to bed before us. You are going to be out. We also see that Alex has her dog with her, a dog named Quickie, which I think is, like, so, like, I don't know any, I guess if people lived off campus, they would have cats or dogs, but to have a dog in a dorm as an American,
I didn't know,
like,
a single person in college that had a pet, and I lived next, my house 1 year was next door to the vet frat, so.
Yeah, I don't think that most college students should have a pet. I think it's actually healthier for the pet to not be there.
Yeah, a pet is better off anywhere else.
Yeah. Also, she brought the dog Quickie to the party, which I'm like, a dog doesn't want a big party like that. It's because someone's going to step on its little foot.
No.
So Justine's able to go home and go to sleep and only wakes up when Adrian sneaks a guy into his room and she hears him in the middle room being like, be quiet, my roommate's asleep. And school begins, Allison.
Wow.
And the implication is that all of this takes part over 1 week, which is insane.
Oh, my God.
So the first day of Horse 101, she washes with the other students. They give the horse ketamine, and they use a jaw separator to put a tube down his throat. And they use, like, a big motorized winch to lift it up onto a platform in case you need to get surgery or whatever. I'm like, oh, this is useful to know. You'd have to learn all this other stuff, not simply
medication. Before you can do a surgery, you need to know how to get the horse. Like,
exactly.
Like, large animal medicine is wild.
Yeah, I there's a lot of, like, imagery of horses in this, and cows too, and they're so beautiful. I grew up with horses. Like, I grew up in a rural area, so, like, everyone had a horse. Like, it was not an unusual thing. And they are so beautiful and so smart, and I don't know.
Terrifying.
It's just nice to see a horse. I want to be near a horse. I'd like to go.
I want to be
a horseback ride. I want to, like, go just pet one, you know what I mean?
I want to be as far away from a horse as I can be.
They got those big teeth, Allison.
There's
big
so
eyes
big.
That look right through you.
Yeah. It's an old Seinfeld bit where he's like, why are cops on horses? Like, how are you saving anybody when you're on top of a glassy-eyed, jittery dinosaur? Which
That's
is what
funny.
I think a horse is.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but they're also so sweet. They're watching, and later we see the older students have, like, lab coats that all have, like, over time, like, they've signed each other. They've drawn drawings on it. Like, there's, like, you know, different, like, sketches. And then the first years, they have, like, pristine white lab coats. Mm-hmm. So on to the next stage of hazing, which is they all have to take a photo. So they stand there, and right before the photo, they dump gallons of blood on them. So now they have
just mixed.
Justine has her.
This is just quote-unquote animal?
Well, you know, it doesn't, it implies, it, based on the context of what happens, I believe it is animal. Okay. So I think this is animal blood. Well,
I'm not going to assume it's human blood, but it's like, is it a it's just like, this was all left over? Like,
Allison, a lot of things happened in this movie that I said I would say, no, thank you, I refuse.
Yes.
I don't want to get animal blood in my mucous membranes.
No.
I don't want to get in my eyes, my nose, my mouth.
It feels like no one should know how bad that is more than veterinary, like, students.
And I guess the idea is, like, they're putting them through their paces, so it's like, you're not going to flinch at anything you have to do here.
I guess.
And that is the path that Justine takes.
Okay.
So the older student says, basically, this is the beginning of the first week. This is rush week. But also, it's not really a frat, so you can't, like, rush. You can't fail. You know, you're just like, right. We're going to be hazing you for a week. And then at the end of it, you're going to hear this, and they blow an air horn 3 times. So okay. When you hear that, that means rush week is over, and you are officially students here, and yes. We respect you. And then all the first years have to get in line, and each of them have to eat a raw rabbit kidney. Where they got all these rabbit kidneys, Allison, I don't know. It's France. They're just lying around.
They just went to the butcher. Well, they eat rabbit in France, so, like, I would imagine you could just...
Yeah. Have you ever had a kidney?
No, I've eaten rabbit, but I haven't eaten a kidney.
I've had kidney. I've had both. I've had rabbit and kidney. I don't think I've ever had a rabbit kidney.
There used to be a great rabbit dish at the old Keffi on the Upper West Side.
I've only had rabbit once or twice, and I found it too salty.
Mm.
But maybe that was just how it was made.
Yeah. No, I haven't eaten a kidney, I don't think.
What kind of...
No, I'm not opposed to, like, different kinds of offal. Like,
it must have been... Okay.
I'll try an organ.
Yeah, I've had liver. It was worth a shot.
I like
again, wouldn't order it, probably rush out, but, you know, we're eating every other part of it.
Right.
It seems rude not to try it. Justine, of course, refuses the kidney and says, I'm a vegetarian, my family's vegetarian, my sister is too. And then Alex comes over and says, grow up, you're at college now, stop being such a fucking baby, and basically forces it into her mouth.
Hey.
And
I don't like that.
Adrian's, of course, in line with her, and he kind of walks over to Justine immediately pukes, like, next to the line. Later at lunch, they're also covered in blood, too. So, like, they're covered in blood for the rest of the day, and they just have to wear it. And I guess just all the instructors are used to this, which is insane.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. And a guy's rambling to Justine and Adrian about the theory that humans contracted HIV from having sex with monkeys, which they've disproven that. Like, there's a million ways we contract things from animals, and having sex with them is pretty far down the list of how you would get in contact with the fluids. And then he says, if a guy wanted to fuck a monkey, should he use a condom? It's like, well, based on the thesis of your argument, of course.
Yes.
If you think that that's how people got HIV, well, then yes, of course you should condom. Yes. What kind of fucking question is that?
Right.
That's what I think France is, unfortunately. Oh. I don't know why, but I'm like, that's I don't like that question.
No, I don't either.
Use a condom when you can, you know.
Yes.
Try to use a condom when you can. And if you're having sex with a monkey, I guess stop.
Yeah.
So, but then they get into this larger conversation, which about whether you could rape a monkey.
Jesus.
And Adrian's like, I don't know. It's not a person. And Justine's like, animals have rights. A monkey that is raped would suffer like a woman who was raped. I don't know why we're arguing this. And this other girl's like, oh, okay, so a raped monkey is the same as a raped woman. And it's like, I guess this is college. Like, you're just like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
And Justine says,
college students, like, kind of young people without too much experience in the world, like, you could see them, like, trying to just, like, theoreticize and understand and kind of, like, make, but it's just like, oh boy, I never want to hear one of those conversations again.
Hell no. But she's like, yeah, they are the same. And everyone looks at her weird. She's like, we're in veterinary school. Like, you don't respect animals or think they have, like, sentient feelings and rights, and what the fuck are you doing here? Which I think is a good point.
Yes.
And later in class, she and Adrian, they kind of just become best buds. So he kind of tries to look at her quiz, and she covers it up with her arm. And he's like, oh, my God. Nerd alert, you know. However, when she turns in her paper, the professor, who looks exactly like a French professor, what I imagine a French professor would look like, which is like a French Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, Justine, you know, your reputation precedes you. You got some big shoes to fill because of your sister. And he looks at her quiz, and he goes, I already see a mistake. And he's so thrilled that she fucked up. It's like, ew. But I do like the professor's, like, everyone is a little weird character in this.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
I like that.
Like, no one is completely normal. And I like the professor, and he's an asshole from the jump. Allison, that night, Justine's skin breaks out in a horrible rash all over her torso and her legs. And she's kind of scratching it. She has the lights off. And then she turns on the light. She pulls up her shirt. It is, like, ripped open flesh, like, all down her thighs, up her torso. And she screams because it's so upsetting and disgusting. And Adrian, we hear him knock on the door. He's like, are you okay? She's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. But it's rank. It's like she keeps scratching it and, like, ripping it open with her nails. And it's just dry, dead skin flaking off. And we hear her stomach start gurgling. And then she falls asleep finally, and she dreams of a horse running on a treadmill. A beautiful horse.
Working out.
Getting its steps
in. Keeping it tight.
It's easy to get your steps in when you have twice as many feet.
This is very true.
And that's what I always say. The next day, Justine goes to the university nurse who's like, all right, ladies, let's take a look here. Oh, my God. Like, she's like, good Lord, girl. And so she's asking her questions, including, are you sexually active? And Justine says, no, I've never actually had sex. And after examining her disgusting stomach, the nurse informs her, you know, this looks like a food allergy. Have you eaten anything weird recently? And she goes, well, now that you mentioned, I did eat a raw rabbit kidney. And there's this, like, what are you doing? What are you kids doing? Like, if somebody asks you, do that, you just did it? And she says, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was forced into her mouth.
Yeah. But it also was peer pressure. And it was her own sister, which, like, yeah. I guess if that also.
Of all the people. Yeah.
So the nurse gives her a topical cream, says use it 3 times a day, and then says, if you can, I would fast the rest of the day because that's the easiest way to just clear it out of your system. Like, just don't eat. But Justine says, honestly, I'm so hungry. I don't know if I could do that. I'm hungry all the time. Uh-oh. There's also some business with, like, fat people in this movie that I'm not exactly sure as an American where we have a lot of fat people, I wasn't sure of what we were going with this. Uh-huh. And the nurse tells a story about this fat patient who came in and burst into tears because this nurse was the first person who ever didn't make a big deal about her weight. And this girl had been told over and over again by this other staff, like, you're too fat, we can't find the vein in your arms. And then this nurse was able to find it immediately. And so she just was, like, so grateful. And Jesse says, that's horrible. Like, why didn't she report that? Like, that medical person should be doing that. And nurse says, well, because she wanted to seem normal. She wanted to seem average. She didn't want to make a big deal about it. And she asks Justine, how do you see yourself? And Justine says, average. Justine rushes to class and runs into an older classmate who they're called elders. But, like, any of the older classmates could just, like, punish you for not abiding by the rules of Rush.
Yeah.
So apparently today everyone's supposed to be wear club clothes. And she's like, girls have to wear something sexy, not just a t-shirt with sequins. And Justine says, but that's all I have, which I think is very funny. And so as a result, the elder student makes Justine put on an adult diaper over her clothes and makes Justine late for class, which is a cow ultrasound demonstration, which also was interesting.
I mean, they really hit the ground running in vet school.
And also the cow and horse budget in this.
My God.
You know, they probably got funding from the country, from the government, the way that art should be made.
Yes.
Back in Alex's room, we see Justine visiting her to find some club clothes because she doesn't have any. And we see that she has a graded quiz and it's kind of all marked out with corrections that she has to fix. And so Justine starts making the corrections and she chews Alex out for making her eat the rabbit kidney because now she has this horrible rash and how disgusting it is. And her sister kind of just clowns on her, but she gives her some, like, a dress and some heels. And because Justine is so fucking awkward, she wears the dress over her sweatshirt and jeans and then just puts the heels on. It's like, well, girl, now you're, like, making yourself stand out.
Yeah, people are gonna, like, bother you about that.
It's very homeschooled to me.
Yes.
When she gets back to her dorm, she sees that the elder students have thrown all of their mattresses out the window again.
I'd be like, so I just want to lie down.
Yeah, I forgot. Like, this is the second day of school, please. And she has to drag it upstairs. She can't catch a break. And when she goes, she inadvertently walks in on, she goes to Adrian. She's like, oh, can you help me with my mattress? And she opens the door and a guy's just sucking his dick. And he goes, and then she closes the door and she hears her go, don't stop. So then she kind of has to, like, wait for him. That was just classic, you know, college stuff. And the next day we see Justine again loading up her plate with mashed potatoes and vegetables. And Adrian, I'm assuming because he works out, is just eating 3 hamburger patties, which also look delicious.
I mean, a well-timed hamburger really hits the spot.
I've been eating turkey burgers at 5 a.m. It makes me so happy. Okay. I love a burger at dawn. That's where I'm on. And Justine sees that
burger at dawn.
You could tell her mouth is watering. And so she goes to pocket a patty, and she does 2 weird things. One, she reaches in with her hand. There's like the little tongs. She reaches into the burgers and picks a burger from underneath, which I'm like, who's ever done that?
No.
With their hand?
You're just touching so many of them.
And then she pockets the patty. She puts it in the pocket of her lab coat. I'm like, you just were at a cow ultrasound. I wouldn't put a hamburger in the pocket of my lab coat.
No.
And then humiliatingly, so Adrian pays, then she goes to pay. And the cashier's like, what did you put in your pocket? And immediately calls her out. And Adrian is trying to, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. And the cashier's like, I need to see it so I can ring it up. Take it out. Take the patty out of your pocket. Like humiliating her in front of everybody. To be fair, it was a weird move. And also, like, what? So she pays for it. She's like, sorry, it's my pocket. It's a patty. She pays for it, and then she throws it away. And Adrian's like, what are you doing? Who cares? Like, just buy a hamburger. And Justine's like, I know. I don't know why I care. I've just always been a vegetarian. I don't know why I did that. But, you know, a funny moment. And then that night, they go on the bus. I'm assuming there's a city or a town nearby. We don't see them actually there, but they're taking the bus there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're going to get so drunk. We're going to party. And as they drive, they pass the crash site from the beginning. And so now we are now up to that point. So apparently that happened this day. Because when they drive past, the car's still there, and they are loading a body into an ambulance, and the body's head is all bloody. So we just see the body. It's covered in a sheet with the bloody head hanging out.
Hate that.
That night, they take the bus back, and the bus stops again at a roadside stand, which this one has shawarma, which sounds fucking delicious.
I love shawarma.
And a trucker comes to hit on Adrian and just genuinely menace them. And he's talking about, like, oh, I have a pig in the cab of my truck, and we swap blood back and forth.
What?
And I'm like, France is a crazy
France
place.
Is weird.
I'll tell you what. But I think he's just intentionally being menacing because they're, like, young and hot. And even he stops talking when he sees, like, Justine is just chowing down her shawarma. Like, she's just eating so much meat really fast. And it kind of makes – he's like, oh, I'm going to head out. Like, even that's
that
too much
would
for
be
me.
Upsetting.
I'm a fucking freak. I'm the weirdest trucker on the planet. Even I think this is too much, girl.
Oh.
Then in the early morning, Adrian wakes up to find Justine, like, hunched in front of the refrigerator. He's like, what you doing, girl? How you doing over here? And she says, oh, I'm getting milk for my cereal. And he goes, okay. And he goes back to bed. She's, of course, not Allison. She's biting into a raw chicken breast.
Ugh.
Which does seem to hit. She looks ecstatic.
Like, chowing down on shawarma, eating a loose hamburger patty. Yes. Like, these things all make sense to me. Like,
We've all done them.
Raw chicken is...
I would eat a raw steak or raw... I would eat raw ground meat before biting into a raw chicken patty. If this is the feel of it on your teeth, seems.
I don't even like cutting it.
The next day, the French professor calls her in and is like, either you or your friend cheated, and I know students like you. You think you're a wunderkind. You make me sick. You actually demoralize and drive down other students. Other students would rather, like, drop out than be compared to you. And your friend had to fight to be here, but you just waltz in. And it's like, what is happening?
What's this dude?
Yeah, why are you going so fucking hard? In the end, however, he's like, so which one of you cheated? She says the truth, which is Adrian. Yeah. And then Allison, I almost puked this scene. I even talking about it. Oof, hang on.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm so nervous.
I have not, since we've started, had to genuinely, like, I had to, like, put my hand in front of the screen so I couldn't see all of it. It's not it was scary. It was disgusting. So she goes to vomit. I was like, oh, she's going to vomit the chicken breast. It makes sense. Allison, she starts gagging and vomiting up long, matted tangles of human hair. I almost fucking... And it's such a long scene, too.
And
she's just, like, retching and pulling it out. I was like, I gagged looking at it. I almost vomited. And then,
oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yuck.
And then that brings me to my first question, Allison. What would you do?
What would you do?
I'd kill myself.
Yeah, no, I would
die.
You
can't come
back. I would just lay down on the floor of the bathroom and fucking die.
No, it, like, even if, like, magically after that you were, your health was intact and you were fine. And, like, I just couldn't ever come back from knowing that happened to me. It would haunt my dreams in a way that I would never recover. So I would wrap it up.
Couldn't agree more.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. And this way I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan and you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Is Justine instead chooses to go on. And there's another, she's like, goes out to wash her hands, and we see a fat girl say to her, like, two fingers will help it come up easier. And Justine sort of, like, nods and leaves. And then the girl, like, smiles and, like, does her hair in the mirror. I'm like, what is the fat part of this? Like, I don't know.
Make any sense. That's a France thing.
Yeah, because I was like, Justine and her sister aren't fat. Like, none of the main characters are fat. So I wasn't sure. That seems like a France thing. Needless to say, it has come to the point in time where Justine needs to go see her sister. However, they don't clearly have they are very in each other's face all the time. So she doesn't immediately tell her sister, hey, by the way, I've been eating raw chicken meat and vomiting up hair. She just hangs out with her, you know. And they go and drink on the roof. And her sister shows her, you know, if you pee hard enough, you can actually pee standing up. And her sister, like, pulls down her pants on the roof and pees. And, like, the force of her pee, it shoots out straight, which I think you could do. But then Justine does it, and she just pees all over herself. Like,
yeah,
I think you have to have the velocity of pee. Yes. Yeah, not the first time out.
No.
And also, why? It doesn't come up a lot, you know?
Right.
But they're laughing and having fun.
You don't
fun.
Have to. We have toilets.
Right. And that's what having fun in France is, you know what I mean? Having a pissing contest. And they go back down into her sister's room and said, she's like, can I sleep over your room? I just don't want to be alone. She's like, oh, fine. But then as soon as they're there in the room, brushing her teeth, her sister starts immediately grooming her and critiquing her, like plucking her eyebrows, criticizing her for having armpit hair. She's like, you know, when I was your age, I was already giving myself Brazilian waxes. Your bush is out of control.
Okay, well, I don't want to do that.
Well,
give
it's
it to
like,
myself?
No, and I'm just letting you know, in case you're something listening to this and you're like, I'd like to maybe get a Brazilian or get waxed, go pay someone to do it. I cannot stress. I have tried myself. I have friends. You will end up sobbing in your bathroom. You are a gigantic piece of wax stuck to your pubes. You are unable to get off.
Yes.
And the whole thing's going to look like hell anyways.
Yes, right. It's going to be painful. It's going to be emotionally torturous. And, like, you're also then, you're not going to have the result that you would get by just paying a professional. Just
Please,
pay a professional.
Professionals do it day in, day out.
That is their
out.
Job.
just, it's, and like, you could do it at home. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying like this to me, even where, cut your hair at home, dye your hair at home,
not,
anything else, do your nails at home.
Ripping things out of your skin.
No.
And also like, there's no part of me that's prepared kind of like social, emotionally to like go to the ER with a problem for that. And 100%. You might have to.
Absolutely. So her sister's like, I'm going to wax you. And she has, so Justine's in underwear. She's basically just waxing, like, you know, your pubes her that grow down your legs.
Yeah.
And so sort of like, she's like, just lay down there. And Justine, of course, hasn't done this before. So she's panicking. And she's like, this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt really bad. Her sister's like, you have to grow up. And when she goes, she waxes like both Justine's inner legs.
Oh, c'est trop fort.
It's painful. Justine's like, this is torture. I want to stop. And she's like, let me just do your stomach. And then when she goes to do her stomach, it gets like caught in the top of her pubes. And she can't get it off because if you've ever been waxed, if your hair's too long, it's so much more excruciating. That's why it has to be pretty short.
Trimmed first.
And she's just pulling these pubes, which are like long. So it's like not, it's like ripping her off. It's like not coming apart. It's like pulling all the hair out. It's awful. So Justine's panicking and she's like, please stop. I don't know what to do. Also, the sequence is really well done because like you feel like something's about to happen and the way they lay it out, this is like, this is how this could happen. So their dog also keeps running over.
Oh my God.
And like putting his head in between her legs, like to see what's going on, like running over, like wanting to be involved like dogs do. And so Justine has to keep pushing him away.
Yeah.
And her sister goes and gets scissors to cut her pubes to cut the wax off. And as Justine's like panicking and pushing the dog away, and she's like, you're going to circumcise me. Don't bring those big scissors near me. Your hands are shaking. And she sits up really fast and knocks the scissors out of her sister's hand. And the scissors cut off the middle finger of Alex's other hand. Just like after the bottom knuckle. And they're both standing there, sitting there terrified. And Alex just lifts up her hand and passes out from shock.
Yes, of course.
So Justine does the right thing, immediately calls for help. They tell her, we'll be there in 15 minutes. If you have some ice, put it on ice. Put it in the fridge or the freezer. No, Alex runs over, and the fridge is unplugged. And there's nothing in it, Allison, which will be a cue for what's going to happen later. When you go to someone's house and the fridge is not only empty, but unplugged.
No.
They're never
bad host.
They're not keeping food in there. Right. They're not keeping snacks in there for other people. Just rude. Unfortunately, Allison... That means she's just sitting there. Her sister passed out, waiting for paramedics.
Holding with a finger.
And we see her. She starts to consider it, Allison. She goes and she lifts the finger and she lifts it to her mouth. She gives it up. She gives it a little nibble. She just takes a little nibble of the cut end. And Allison, that shit hits. And unfortunately, Allison, Justine starts eating her sister's finger like a chicken wing. Just going to town on that bitch.
No, no.
And her sister wakes up and sees her do it.
Imagine.
I can't. My mind won't allow it.
My mind will not allow me to understand watching somebody just go into town on my middle finger that got severed like it's dollar wing night.
And a family member at that.
Yeah.
Not even a stranger. Not even a college roommate. I've had college roommates that I feel like could do this, but family.
Your sister?
My God. Next shot, we see them. They're in the hospital. Their parents have come, and Justine's waiting with them. And she has this weird interaction where an old man's staring at her and then kind of, like, pops out his teeth and starts laughing hysterically. So I guess maybe it's just, like, the body, pieces of the body. And they wheel out Alex, who, of course, does not tell their parents that Justine ate her finger. She says, Quickie ate my finger. So blaming it on the dog. Her finger flew off. The dog got it, which seems
her
plausible.
Her finger flew off.
Well, I mean, she said, like, it was an accident with the scissors. Admits that. But then when it hit the ground, the dog got it.
Got it.
Which makes it's more palatable than my sister ate it when I was
100%.
Passed out. Of course, the parents are, like, asking the doctor, like, well, what are we going to do? Can we reattach it? The doctor's like, no, it's all – somebody ate it like a chicken bone. That dog went to town on it.
Yeah.
And
just
it's like,
but you just have a regular hand with then, like, a middle finger that's just bone?
Right, yeah. And they're like, well, is there rehab? And he's like, ma'am, it's just the top of one of her fingers. Or she has a knee – she's fine. Like, it's actually going to be fine.
She can't be a veterinarian probably, but, like, you know.
Well, I think the idea is, like, she can. Like, maybe, like, we probably can't do surgery. But also, they don't say whether it's her dominant hand. So I was like, if it's not your dominant hand, I think –
you can get by.
Yeah, like if you're like giving giving a dog medication or like doing shots or moving a horse, you could still do it.
Yes.
It just probably is like
moving
like
a horse.
Fine. I'm like, what do you do, a vegetarian?
I don't know.
You pick up a rabbit? Like, she could do a lot of the stuff, right? I don't know what they do.
I don't either.
We do know, though. They do a lot of stuff. Probably.
Right. I just can't name specific tasks right now.
Other than putting dogs down. And you can definitely do that with missing a finger. I'm 100%. Sorry to bring up the saddest one.
Yeah.
But and they're like, they're like attacking Alex with a barrage of questions, and then Justine goes, "Leave her alone for 5 minutes, Mom, God!" And her parents yell at her to never disrespect her mother. And Justine runs outside to, you guessed it, vomit in the parking lot. And her dad comes out and was like, "You need to apologize to your mother." And it's like, okay. And she joins him, and he gives her a cigarette, and she says, "Well, who has Quickie?" And he says, "Oh, he's going to be put down. Once an animal has taste for human flesh, they aren't safe. If he likes it, he'll bite again." Again, is France the Middle Ages? Like,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
Like,
I don't think it works like that.
I don't think so
either. He
also
didn't bite. He didn't bite it off.
Right.
It fell on the ground.
It was cut off. It fell on the ground, and then she ate it, so.
Right. So, of course, she's trying to be like, well, he didn't bite the finger off.
Right.
It fell. I mean, Alex caught her, and it fell on the ground. He ate it. That's not, any dog would do that. And they goes,
right.
"Don't have two girls, honey. It's too hard." It's like, this is the least
gender-specific
situation. This is, in fact, the only situation in this movie where gender does not matter whatsoever.
At all.
What? Anywho, dad, grow up. So the parents go back home, and as soon as they get back to the school, Alex, like, stands up and, like, kicks her wheelchair across the parking lot and says, "We need to talk." And so they walk down that lonely country road we saw at the beginning. And Alex has them both crouched down in a ditch. And it just, it's like, is this to prove a point? Are you going to haze me? Like, what's going to happen?
What is this?
Allison, a car drives by, and Alex dives in front of it. Again, the car veers and slams into that exact same tree. And Justine runs to Alex, like, freaked out. She's in the road, but she's fine. And they go to the car, and both passengers are passed out, bloody. And one of them is sort of groaning. And Alex says, okay, this guy's not going to survive. Justine is horrified and doesn't understand what's going on. It's like, we have to call somebody. Only to look and see her Alex open the passenger side door and lean in and start eating one of the guy's faces. And Justine pulls her off. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Alex says, are you stupid? I'm teaching you. You have to learn, like, how to control this. And Justine's like, oh, my sister has a taste for human flesh, too. I see.
Well, it's a family affair.
Yes. But Justine refuses it.
Okay.
She's not ready to accept her animal nature. So she walks home on the side of the highway and then realizes she has blood on her sweater, takes off, and then she's just walking in her bra. The next day, she joins Adrian for dog autopsy symposium.
Classes.
And when she ties his gown, she's like tying it behind his back. She gets like a whiff of him, and she just like, you see her, like her pupils widen. Like she's like, oh, shit. Adrian's not only hot, like I'm like, you know, like we're having like that chemical attraction. Also, they're doing autopsies on dogs. So there's quite a number of dead dogs in this scene.
Jesus.
And he's like, you know, I'm really sorry about your sister. Justine's like, I thought you didn't like her. She's like, well, yeah, she seems like a crazy bitch, but like I didn't want her finger to get cut off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened. And she's like, Justine says, it's just a finger. And then she just cuts her dog corpse from, which is like a German Shepherd, from sternum to stern without a thought. And I think this is like we're seeing her become.
She's lost the connection to like what is alive.
Yes. The veil between the living and the dead is starting to part for her. They have to go to another hazing ritual where they're pelted with food while her sister watches her. And now Justine clearly has a taste for Adrian and is like, goes and watches him play shirtless soccer. And to be fair, he's proper fit.
Yeah.
He is proper fit. And as she watches, her nose starts to bleed. I guess that's how horny she is.
Wow. I've never been that horny for anything.
Yeah.
Certainly not eating human flesh.
And so this, I think, both as she is like realizing that she wants to consume human flesh, she's also awakening to her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I love that the symbol we use to usher us into this part of the film is in the dog autopsy room, we see a sort of the sheet being pulled or falling off the dog corpse that she autopsied. That is the symbol of her entering her feminine sexuality.
Oh, those two things are so similar.
Yeah. So in her room, she finally puts on her sister's club dress and like actually puts on lipstick and is like dancing horny and like kissing like the mirror with lipstick on, which is something we all have to do. It seems very, very 18-year-old. Or younger. And they're listening to a French song, and the chorus, so the lyrics are, I like to bang the dead. And she starts like kissing the mirror. And she hears in the other room, Adrian's laughing with her sister. And she's like, excuse me. She rushes out there playing video games. And Adrian says, oh, hey, I'm just about to leave. I'm going to a hospital party. Literally, they're on call and they party. And then if they get called in, they have to go in anyways.
Oh, my God.
And he says to Alex, like, you're lucky it wasn't last night, or you could have lost your fucking hand, bitch. Anyway, see you guys later. And Justine says to Alex, hands off. But Alex replies, I thought he was gay. What are you talking about? Yeah. Hands off. I'm not trying to fuck him. Also, I don't think that would work.
That he will. That's a two-way street.
Yes, exactly. I don't think
two people.
And we have one of the ways is a gay way.
Yes.
And her sister looks at her in the dress and says, you know, that looks really good, but you're dropping a lot of weight. You better not be anorexic. That's so boring and annoying. And again, I'm like, France, man, I don't know. And she says, well, you have to eat something. And they're both obviously talking about human flesh. And Justine says, I don't need that. I'm not like you. I tried it once. Okay. And I didn't like it. It's like, I think if you try it once,
you do like it.
You do like it because most of us never do. Most of us, the tries is zero. Right. And Alex says, okay, but just so you know, I tried exactly what you're doing. I tried to go without. But obviously, much like if she's a vampire, Justine can only go so long without flesh. So we see her. She's in bed. She's under. She's sweaty, miserable. And then we see it looks like an unseen force is just pummeling her through the sheets. And she's screaming Allison, she needs to feed. And I'm going to ask you at this point, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Justine and her sister will survive, but then, like, everybody else is dead, and they find out that it's, like, them and their parents have this taste as well.
Great. Okay, excellent guess. We love it.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
So Justine leaps out of bed, as you would, and starts wandering down the hallway in her underwear, walks to it through an open doorway, and someone hurls a gallon of blue paint in her face, because apparently that's literally, it's like Thursday. This is like, this started on Sunday. I mean,
this is, it's not worth, go to another school where this isn't what happens.
Just so many things thrown in your face and eyes. Like, I just don't understand. But we see a room full of paint spattered people, including Adrian. And one of the elder students grabs Justine and a random guy who's in yellow and throws them in the bathroom and says, don't come out until you're both green. And so the guy tries, and here's the guy is like trying to kiss Justine and she pushes it away. Understandable. And also both of their mouths are covered in paint, which also is, I find so viscerally disgusting. Like you're kissing the paints in your mouth. I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but it's just like that and the hair. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Ugh, tough.
But then he says, you know, don't worry, we can go slow. And so she starts to kiss him back. And so they're kind of like rubbing, you know, like they're like rubbing the paint on each other. She's like seemingly enjoying it. And then everyone in the other room hears a scream and the guy runs out. Justine has bitten a chunk of his lip off. She goes to back to her room to shower, and we see the chunk is still in her mouth, and it falls onto the shower floor, and she picks it up and eats it. Back in the room, Adrian went with her, and she's like, she and Adrian are on his bed. She's in a towel, and they're sort of cuddling, and he's like, so are you into that? Like, are you S&M? Like, she's like, I don't know. She goes, did it turn you on? Are you still horny? And she's like, I don't know anything. She's like, I don't know. I'm just interested. Like, I just like to talk about it, you know? And so she goes off to bed and he starts to watch gay porn and jerk off. But then Justine comes back in and she says to him, it's bad. And then they start to fuck. So I guess it's like, well, they're both horny and they're both like, okay, well, whatever. We're 20, you know. And so they start to have sex, Allison. They roll out of the ground and then she's throwing his ass around, like biting his neck, throwing him, like kind of pushing him against the bed to the point where he's like, stop. You have to, like, she's flailing. It's like, he's like, you have to stop. And then she comes. And when she does, she bites down hard on her own arm and blood starts welling and dribbling everywhere. Speaking of that, Jane's like, I don't know about all this.
No, that's a lot. That's a lot.
And while they're in class, Adrian gets a text and shows Justine his phone, which has a message from her sister and says, tell my sister to look at her phone. Because I guess she was ignoring, you know, her text. And the message says, mom said they put Quickie down, LOL, hashtag way too cute. And of all the things to focus on, Justine turns to Adrian and says, why does my sister have your number? It's like, bitch, you are a cannibal.
There's
and they
so
put
much
your
stuff
dog
going
down
on.
For a crime that you committed. Why do you have my sister's number? And so she's like, did something happen with her? And then Adrian won't answer. She's like, why are you ignoring me? Nice way to treat a girl you deflowered. And Adrian stands up and he says, I'm gay. I didn't stay in the closet for 20 years to fuck girls. And he storms out in front of everybody, which is great. That night, Justine goes out and is so blackout drunk, is doing essentially like an impression of like a horny person. Like she's watching this couple. Yes. Make out and she's like, like she's watching them in such a way where you're like, oh girl. And then she goes to get a drink. They literally pour her like a full plastic cup of straight warm vodka.
That's the grossest thing that's happened
to
this
movie.
She's
gulping it down and then you see her like wincing and trying not to vomit. And it goes on for quite a long time too. Like all the body stuff really had me gagging in both regards. Finally, her sister comes and finds Justine and escorts her out and takes her to the morgue. Where we see her pull a body out of the drawer.
But there are people?
So there's also a hospital. So there's a veterinary school and then a human hospital. So they're in the human morgue. So it's a human body, yeah. Justine wakes up in her bed. She's in her dress, but like everything seems fine. She rushes to lecture. Allison, when she walks in, it's like one of those big lecture halls with like 100 people. She walks in, everyone's staring at her. And she sits down and the girl she was sitting next to moves over a seat. Afterwards, Adrian pulls her into the bathroom and says, bitch, you have to see this. And it's a video of her from the night before. That she was blackout. She has no memory of it.
Yeah.
So there's a crowd of students in the morgue. And you see the video of whoever took it. It's not Adrian. Like somebody sent it to him.
Yeah. It's like some.
And whoever's filming it, people are saying, even in the video, don't film her like this. She's fucked up. It's fucked up to film people like, don't do this. And finally, we get to what's happening. We see Justine on the ground, and Alex is dangling the corpse's arm over Justine's face and making her, like, jump and snap for it like a dog. And people are like, don't film this. She's fucked up. But also, they're also watching her, and also it's her sister doing it. So I think no one's getting involved. Right. It's like, that's her own sister. I don't know. I'm not going to get in between whatever the fuck this is.
No.
I know. Justine, reasonably enough, freaks out. Because the implication is not simply that it happened, but that her sister did it, and also that everyone at the school is going to see.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
And she runs and finds it. Alex is outside. Like, everyone's – there's, like, a courtyard area where everyone, like, walks between the buildings. So it's full of people, full of other students. She finds Alex, and she shoves her to the ground, and they start fucking kicking each other's ass, which is mostly hair-pulling and pushing each other to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, sister fight.
Until Alex lunges forward and bites Justine's cheek and rips a chunk of flesh off. And then they're really grappling, and they end up locked. Each of them has each other's hand or wrist in each other's jaws, and they're, like, locked in a fight until someone comes to break them up. The other students are filming this, too. So now everyone's like, oh, these two sisters who are completely insane.
Yes.
So now they kind of all they have is each other, and Alex takes Justine back to her dorm and like bandages her face, and they're sort of like a detente, like you ate
we got to figure this out.
Yeah, and also like you ate my finger, and I humiliated you in front of the school. We're even.
Yes.
In the morning, we see a bunch of the students. They're wearing like comforters and their jammies, and we hear the three blasts of the air horn, And I guess it's like their last meetup. They all have to go there at dawn. It's freezing. But this is the end of rush week. It's been 1 week, Allison.
Oh, my God. 1 week. What a crazy week.
Justine wakes up in Adrian's bed. And, of course, she's like, all right, well, I guess we fucked again. Turns to him and reaches under the covers and pulls back at her hands covered in blood. She throws off the comforter and his thigh has been eaten. Most of his thigh has been eaten down to the bone.
Oh, my God.
And she tries to shake him awake, but he's dead.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. And she sobs thinking that she did it. But when she gets up, she sees on his back there's a separate wound. And she stands up and she sees he has a ski pole, is covered in blood. And she walks into the kitchen and we see Alex is there. And her mouth is covered in blood. And she's obviously the one who actually ate
these
Adrian.
Two.
These two. I swear to God.
These two.
So now Justine must help her. The roles reversed. And we see all the students gather outside with concerned looks on their faces. I think we're supposed to be like, people are hearing, like, something happened. And Justine addresses Alex, and they both get in the shower, and Alex tries to wash both of them off. But, you know, you can't wash off this dead guy in your dorm room.
No. Nope.
However,
that's still there.
Next thing you know, we see Justine and her parents. They're visiting Alex in prison, the implication being that she has been convicted of a crime, or ultimately it's a mental institution, but she's behind glass. And while they're talking, the parents get up to leave, and then Justine's following them. And Alex bangs on the glass, and when Justine turns around, she's holding up her middle finger, but the one that got cut off. So she's holding up everything but her middle finger.
Yeah.
Back at home, her mom says, basically her mom is like fuming, silent, not talking, and she's like, you have to eat all your vegetables. It's like, again, that is
not the
number
problem.
Number 5,000 on the list of things we should talk about. And her mom storms out, and her dad, the one who's like been talking to her throughout the movie, says, you know, it's not your fault, you know. Justine says, I know that. But then he says, it's not your sister's fault either. She says, what do you mean? And her dad explains, you know, when Alex was born, she was our little princess. And then things change as she started to grow up. And it's our fault that we didn't find a solution.
What would a solution be?
Well, and he goes on, you know, when I met your mom at school, you know, we were friends first. And she would say, I'm just a friend. I didn't understand because you didn't have a boyfriend. And we were obviously more than friends. And then we had our first kiss, and then I understood. And he puts his finger to his lips, and until then I didn't realize he's always smoking, so he always has his hand over his mouth. For the first time, we see that a chunk of his lip has been bitten off, and there's a scar.
So it's mom.
It's mom. And then Justine's dad undoes his shirt and holds it open. He's covered in bite marks and scars and wounds, like healed wounds. And he tells her, I'm sure you'll find a solution, honey.
Oh my God.
End. Yeah. You're
okay.
Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think someone made in this movie?
Fatal mistakes.
I think we're to think like, okay, this is just an analyzing the metaphor of the movie, which anyone could do, you know.
Yes, of course.
Just sort of the idea of like, we, instead of teaching our children anything about themselves and anything about sexuality or death, we leave them alone to discover things themselves, and then they find within
themselves.
And then it's
horrific. Exactly.
They think of themselves as monsters. They do things that are monstrous and have no context for it. And the idea of like, I'm sure you'll find a solution, I think is supposed to be like, well, I'm passing it on to our children's generation because we didn't find a solution for you or your sister.
So maybe you guys will.
Right. So it's like we're kicking the can.
Yeah.
And also.
Yeah, down the road.
And like because her dad, like their parents do love her. So they do think that's possible. But they are not engaging in like, had you told her this, you could have created a situation. I don't know, like a Dexter situation. She'd have to eat serial killers or something. But like.
But at least that, I mean, that feels. Fine.
And then it's like, okay.
Compared to this.
Yeah, it's like, how often do you have to feed? Because then I was like, are the scars on the dad's torso that the mom, like, feeds off of him and she only needs a little bit of blood? Like, how does the mom maintain it?
Yeah, right. What are the rules?
What are the rules? And why would you not tell both your daughters? But I guess the idea is like, well, in some ways it's sort of like queerness or just about everyone's sexuality where it's like, if we never talk about it, then you won't experience this. The thing that everyone experiences and no one talks about. It's like, well, but why would that make any sense?
Right. Be like, oh, well, we'll just raise you as vegetarians, hoping that you never accidentally or by choice decide to consume meat, which like clearly
would happen at some
point. Kicked this off. Yeah,
and
right.
It's like, it's what, and also why not tell her? Because the media says, you know, the woman's like, well, the mom says to the woman at the buffet is like, what if she'd been allergic? Why not tell her she's allergic?
Right.
So she doesn't eat it out of fear.
At least instill fear. Right.
Exactly. But this is not a criticism of the movie. I think that's exactly what the movie is about. The movie is
100%.
At the end, you're supposed to be like, why the fuck wouldn't you tell them this? Now, right. One of them is in jail. And how, I mean, it's sort of like mental illness, addiction, anything regarding sexuality, queerness, trans, like anything where it's like, you have this information. Why can't we pass it to the kids? Why right. can't the kids
Why can't we talk
know?
About it? Why can't we find solutions? Exactly. Why does it have to be like, you're on your own?
Yes. And I really like this movie, and I think they did a really excellent job. And poor Adrian, you know, he's trying to be a good friend. And
I know.
Trying to do a delicious late night snack.
R.I.P. late night snack.
Any other fatal mistakes?
Not being like, I got forced to eat something and now I don't feel like.
Yeah.
Once like things start going south for you, for Justine at like during hazing.
Yeah.
Which I understand. It's like also like she's 18. It's hazing. Like it's really hard to like have the strength to like take yourself out of that. But like when I was like that, like if I had all that rash and it was such a nightmare, I'd be like, maybe I should go to a hospital that's not the school and like get removed from this environment for a little bit.
Agreed. Couldn't agree more.
I don't know if it would have stopped anything, but it could have slowed it down.
Yeah. There's for someone who's supposed to be so smart.
Right.
Not a lot of great decisions made, but I guess we're going to think again, like she's smart in a very sheltered way.
Yes.
But yeah, and then finally, where would you place Raw on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
Grossness, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Scariness, I think like for me, like a 6 or a 7.
Ooh, okay, great.
Let's call it a 6.5.
Yeah, I would say 10 out of 10, really enjoyed this movie. In terms of scariness, I didn't think it was particularly scary, but I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find it disgusting.
Yeah.
So 10 out of 10, disgusting. In terms of scariness, I'll give it a 5.
Yeah, that feels right.
There are definitely some horrifying moments. But I really just, it's a coming of age drama with body horror elements. So if that sounds great. More up your alley, that's what I would describe it as. But the gory elements are pretty, like I again did gag multiple times in this movie. So
yeah, that's tough.
Check in with yourself about that, everybody.
Yep.
And then if this is up your alley, go see Raw.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
I'm glad I do remember when this came out and I was like, I hope I can read an article about it at some point. And obviously this is a much better forum for learning.
And here we are, my friend.
And here we are.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening.
Yes.
We love you.
We love you.
Very much.
Yes.
And until next time, keep it spooky.
Yeah.
Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.